Good morning. Before I start, I just want to point out one cool thing I noticed last week in our study of Psalm 103. If you remember when I spoke about Psalm 98, I talked about everything that God does in that psalm is in the past or the future. And it was kind of a puzzle because the present only gave us things to do, not what God is doing. Well, in Psalm 103, I don't know if any of you are as much nerdy as I am. Nobody is. But I noticed that all the verbs in Psalm 103 are in the present tense. And so that is a psalm busting with things that God is doing right now. So I thought that was pretty exciting. Okay, Psalm 119. This is a massive psalm, and I could speak for hours. So before I start, let's just pray. Father, I thank you for your word in all of its flavors and colors and textures. I praise you for all of it. And I pray that you'll help us this morning as we learn all sorts of things about who you are and what you have said. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, again, I already said the word nerd, so I'll do it again. With Psalm 119, with my little nerdy grammatical self, I made this really, really exciting Excel document with with 176 rows and five columns. Now, there were 181 rows, actually, because of, you know, whatever. You don't even know that. And with five columns, one was the section, the name of the section of the psalm, the number of the verse, the phrase about God's word, the name it used for God's word, and the part of speech it was in the sentence in each verse. And I sorted it 20 different ways and totaled up all the little stuff. And it was really fun for me. And I graciously spared you copies of all the little things I made so that you wouldn't have to pretend to find them interesting. But in this crazy way, I made a lot of basic discoveries about Psalm 119. So let's dig into it. Number one, there are many verses. There are 176 verses, and all of them mention the word of God, except for five. Five of them do not mention God's word. So if I was going to spend time going through each verse, this would be a very long talk. Another thing I noticed, depending on your version, there are 10 words used to name God's word. Depending on what your version is, you could see commands, statutes, precepts, decrees, law, promises, word, way, and judgments. And I looked up all the definitions, and I compared and contrasted the subtle differences between all of those little names. And Bob dragged out the Hebrew English Lexicon, which is really a cool old book from like 1800. This would be another very long talk if I was to show you all those things I discovered. One very wise source said that these 8 to 10 names of God's word are, for the most part, synonyms. That means they all basically mean the same thing. And they are used, all those different ones are used so for two reasons. So that it wouldn't be too repetitive and redundant, and so that the letters would fit in the different sections. So, that's another long talk that I'm not going to give you. The third long talk is about themes. There are many, many themes. And I guess that's the best word. About God's word. These are some of the ones I found. God's word brings comfort, freedom, grace, clarity, guidance, delight. God's word is to be obeyed, meditated upon, and studied. God's word satisfies our deepest longings. God's word is wonderful. These are the ones I found only in the first 35 verses. There are more, and they are equally wonderful to ponder. Again, this is another very long talk that I'm not going to give you. The fourth thing I discovered, that there are 22 sections. You probably already know this, delineated by the letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And this is basically an acrostic in Hebrew. Every verse, if this was in the original Hebrew, every verse would start with the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's like an alphabet book, like Dr. Seuss, big A, little A. What begins with A? Aunt Annie's alligator, A, A, A. I could do the whole book if you want me to, but I won't. No, I knew this when Ethan was like 1 year old. Or it could be like Sesame Street, Women's Bible Study is brought to you by the letter WOW. But we'll get to that in a minute. So we could make this into a fun interactive game of assigning maybe each table a few letters, and you could write things in English that begin with the letters you're assigned. What do you know about God's Word, or how do you feel about God's Word? And make sure each thing starts with the same letter. That would be a fun exercise, but we're not going to do that either. I will not be giving any of those talks, but I did enjoy digging in and finding all those cool things and sharing them with you. And it's good to spend time observing God's Word in this way. All sorts of things, whatever your personality makes you want to dig into, is a good thing to do when you're looking at God's Word. I like to look at all the little particles of it and see how they fit into little graphs and grids. It's a good thing because God can reveal things about himself according to the way you look at Scripture. So never feel weird about looking at God's Word according to the things you like to do. What I'd like to focus on is two of the themes I mentioned. These are obedience and freedom. In obedience, now most of the names of the Word of God in Psalm 119 are synonyms of the word command, law, precept, statute, judgment. So obedience is probably the major theme. I did add up how many times each one of those was used, and they're the most. The command ones are the most. And also, actually, this might surprise you, but obedience is one of my very favorite themes because it's very significant in my life. As probably one of the top 10 most rebellious women in all of creation, obedience doesn't seem like it could possibly be one of my favorite themes. And for most of my life, and even most days now, it's not my favorite. Then God used a first grade Sunday school lesson on the Ten Commandments from one of the most boring publishers in the history of the United States. And it changed my heart. I was not a first grade student. I was the teacher. I did not embrace obedience starting in first grade. I just want to clarify that. Each commandment in this thing that I had to cut out was in the shape of a pink heart. And it was to be presented to the class each week as a gift that we unwrapped, as a gift from God. It just gives me chills to think about it. Anyway, I learned as I taught, that in any relationship, you have to learn specific ways your friend or boss or husband wants to be treated to make them feel loved. And these commandments were very important to obey, but also each one was a gift from God that showed us how he wants to be loved and showed us something about him that we can love. This little lesson with pink hearts on the corkboard brought me into an understanding of God's laws that started a little bit of desire to obey him wholeheartedly. But let's think about our relationships. I think it's important here to think about your relationships with your boss or your brother or your mother or your husband. There are precepts and statutes in every relationship that reveal how to make that relationship rich and peaceful. Let me share with you some of Bob's rules. These are going to be fun. I'm not going to tell you all of them. One of his rules is listen to me when I'm talking to you and interact with me and show me that you're paying attention. Here's one, be faithful to me. Go listen to live music with me. Don't feed me weird food, which means anything found outside the boundaries of the state of Virginia in the 18th century. Don't buy me weird clothes that veer outside my prescribed and very specific clothing standards. Most important of all, don't ever, ever, ever ask me to play Settlers of Catan. That's real big. If you love Bob Haynes, don't even bring it up. Obedience, obeying those laws. I obey those laws because he loves me and I love him. Those are laws of love. Obedience is about listening and learning about the love behind the one setting down the rules. Lost my place. Okay. Even when it's weird and inconvenient. I love playing Settlers of Catan. And next time Bob's on the men's retreat, I'm going to the Curtises and I am going to win Settlers of Catan. So, but I don't ask him to play. Some of those rules are a little weird. They're specific for Bob. Here's some weird things the Bible told me to do that I tried and I found rich blessings. Get anointed by elders when you're scary sick. That was not part of my upbringing. We just prayed when we were sick. We didn't call the elders to come over with a vial of oil. That was what like Pentecostal weird people did. But one time when I was scared and I was sick, I said I was desperate. And so we called, I think it was Jim Trott, came over with oil and prayed over me, and it was one of the richest blessings in my life. I was not automatically healed, but it was a very significant turning point in my life, seeing, wow, I can do something weird that's in the Bible, and God can use it to really touch my heart deeply. It's there for a reason. Another weird thing that I don't find extremely easy to do is submit to my husband. I know that comes as a big shock to all of you. Especially when I'm so very sure that I'm right. When I step back, it doesn't happen real often, but when I step back from what I know we should do next and do what he says to do next, wholeheartedly, not punishing him when it doesn't go well, but wholeheartedly supporting and going his way, God blesses that. He blesses me. He blesses Bob. And it's amazing when you do those things that are not always convenient. And so, two things. If you're rebellious like me, ask God to help you obey and to see the love behind it. If you are a Pharisee and you love obeying and you give yourself a report card at the end of every day and find yourself getting straight A's, ask God to teach you more about the love behind the obedience rather than your report card. Okay, that was obedience. And now the most important one I want to share with you is freedom. Another name for God's word beyond the commands and laws is promise. God's promises give freedom, but they're not the only ones that bring freedom. This is a very specific way God has used his word to set me free. I come from a family and a community that was for the most part joyful and not burdensome. And now I live in a community and I'm part of a family that's the same. It's mostly joyful. But there were and are extra laws, commands, statutes, judgments, and decrees that people want to impose on me, on us, that I found out are not God's laws. They are additional preferences that I am free and that we are free to decide against. And all of us, in whatever capacity we live, have extra laws coming at us all the time. And I want to just assure you that most of them are optional. Here are just some of the commandments that the Word of God has set me free from. Thou shalt practice thy piano lesson every day so that you can play hymns in church no matter how nervous you are. Thou shalt not attend movies in a theater because you don't want to be in there when Jesus comes back. Thou shalt not dance, nor shalt thou listen to raucous rock and roll music. Thou shalt not kiss a boy before you are engaged. It is better not to kiss them at all or touch them at all. Thou shalt stand up straight and maintain thy dignity at all times, especially when thou worshipest the Lord. Raising one's hand and or moving one's body in any way might incite carnal thoughts. Thou shalt make a lot of money and send thy children to Christian colleges so they shall never backslide. Thy clothing shall never look the slightest bit frumpy or dowdy. Thou shalt be better than everybody else at everything, and thou shalt prove this by getting awards and spreading your good news far and wide. Thou shalt sit still in class and keep a neat desk. If thou dost not do these things consistently, thou shalt be considered unregenerate, so that thou shalt pray the sinner's prayer after me. If thou art a woman, thou shalt bake fresh bread daily, because it says daily bread in the Lord's Prayer. Do you know who said that? Anybody know? Tell you later. He's not in the public eye anymore for certain reasons that do not surprise me at all. Thou shalt follow in my footsteps and never skip away on a different path if thou art to remain my friend or a member of my friend group. Thou shalt not use any musical instruments in corporate worship. There are variations on this theme. Thou shalt sing only contemporary music. Thou shalt sing only classical music. Thou shalt sing only classical music older than 300 years old. There shalt always be an organ present in worship. There shalt never be an organ present in worship. If thou callest thyself a Christian, thou shalt hold to conservative political beliefs. If thou callest thyself a Christian, thou shalt hold to liberal political beliefs. These are various laws I've been called to obey in my past within the church. There's a whole lot more laws out there outside of the church, including thou shalt not claim that what you believe is true if it is different than what I believe. Thou shalt not be so lame and ignorant as to see your Bible as an authority. Just want to say these laws are not in God's word, none of them. And you need to know God's word and meditate on it to filter out these things that can at best be annoying, well, not annoying, no, but a distraction. And at worst, they can sometimes function as the arrows of the enemy. You need to be careful. God did not give us laws, statutes, precepts, decrees, and commands as a checklist of things to do in order to get good grades as church ladies, or to feel good about ourselves if our grades are high, or feel bad about ourselves if grades are low. God did not give us laws just to stay out of hell. He gave us this whole book in order to tell us what he's like, to show us that he loves us, to show us how he likes to be loved, to set us free from being ruled by our own selfish feelings or those of people who wish to control us. He sets us free. So since I have the podium, I get to read you my favorite verses in this massive psalm. Verse 32 is my favorite verse. I run in the paths of your commands, for you have set my heart free. And Women's Bible Study is brought to you today by the letter WOW, because this is my favorite section, verses 41 to 48. May your unfailing love come to me, Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I can answer anyone who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Never take your word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. I will always obey your law forever and ever. Sometimes. Most. I don't like that verse because I don't think I'm always going to obey his laws. But anyway, someday I will always obey your law. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I will speak of your statutes before kings, and I will not be put to shame. For I delight in your commands because I love them. I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees. The way I've been set free from all those extra laws, some of which aren't bad, but they aren't helpful to me in some ways. Some of them are just annoying, and some of which were very, very painfully inflicted upon me as a child. The way I've been set free was the way of God's word. Throughout my whole life, the Holy Spirit many times nudged me, got my attention, and said to me, Gracie, out of everyone in the whole world, I love you best. I designed your eccentric, nerdy Excel sheet personality on purpose. This law, my laws, these outside laws are coming from people that don't love you like I do. Look to my laws and find my love and find freedom to walk, skip, jump, and run on my path with confidence. Let's pray. Father in heaven, may your word truly change us, heal our broken hearts, teach us what it means to be truly loved and to truly love you. Father, I praise you for the ways that it changes us. I praise you for the ways it comforts us and guides us. Teach us to love you and to love your laws and to love your word. In Jesus' name, amen.